There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Okay, good evening. Today's date is the 4th of July, 2012. It's a Wednesday night. We're out here at the ranch, otherwise known as the home place, located in a horse barn in the middle of ranch land, otherwise known as Oklahoma, USA. We're going to start a broadcast off a little bit differently. Last week's broadcast, Jim was out in the ocean somewhere, and we had pre-recorded it, and it was a really interesting show. But what we're both here in the studio this evening, and what we're going to do is we're going to start off tonight's broadcast by reading an email. And they said I could use it. It said in parentheses, yes, you may read this email on the broadcast. And you can email the show whenever you want at theabidingpresence@gmail.com is the way you can email the show. And this is what it says: I'm listening to the broadcast over and over, trying to get all I can from them. I so want to operate in, here it comes, in the supernatural, because I believe God designed us to live in Him. Your commentary on success. Am I having success? ? Are things getting better? ? Has inspired me to not settle for less than God's best. How do I live and move in the, here it comes, supernatural? Is praying in the Spirit the doorway? ? How do I lay hands on the sick and have them recover? ? Do I just do it? ? Just step out there and put my hands on someone and he'll be healed? ? How do I activate, here it comes, the supernatural? ? I have so much head knowledge, but not much success. I know God wants us well and prosperous, but not sure how to get, here it comes, instantaneous results. Ready to do what God has called me to do. Now, the title of this email is, here it comes, Living in the Supernatural. Ladies and gentlemen, manifestation, supernatural, all these big fancy words describe something that is uncommon, that is special, that is different, unusual, uncommon, rare, like a winning lottery ticket. That is the problem with modern religion. We are spirit beings. If we are spirit beings, if we're children of Christ, if we're made in His image, doesn't that sound pretty plain, pretty ordinary, commonplace, casual, as it should be? Think of it this way. If heaven is home and Christ is your father and you're a child of God, then why would heaven, why would a prayer, Why would something as simple as being healed, why would that be supernatural? Why would it be odd, uncommon, uncanny, rare, one in a million? Think of it this way. When you go into your home and someone says, I don't believe it. You literally just went into the refrigerator and got a bottle of water? You're literally just going to sleep in that bed? You'd look at them and say, are you crazy? This is my home. This is my castle. This is my personal world. I want to pose this question to you. Isn't that Christianity? Is that not having a relationship with God? Is that not what it's like to experience grace? It's not supposed to be supernatural. It's not supposed to be a manifestation. It's literally supposed to be how we live our lives. Jim, this is your radio show. Give us some scripture that mentions these things.
Well, while you were talking about this, of course, I'm listening and just processing in my mind. And for those of you that are listening, my response was going to start out by saying the exact same thing that PJ did. So we're on board with that. And that is, this is a really good email for the one that wrote this. Thank you very much for your honesty. Some wouldn't be this honest. They would rather protect maybe their lack of results with more religious thinking jargon. But thank you for being real honest about this, because that's exactly how you turn the corner and start to become successful.
Their first name starts with an S and their last name starts with a B. So SB, thank you.
Yeah, very good. So my response to you, and the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to read here in 2 Corinthians. And again, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. And I want you to pay attention to verse 18. I'm just going to read some context. Paul said, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working out for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I'm starting with this, these couple of verses, the emphasis on verse 18, because what BJ was explaining is exactly what I would have done, to immediately bring up the differentiation between the spirit realm and the earthly or fleshly realm. And there has to be a distinction, and these questions that come in this email are directed at how do we experience a manifestation, something that's instant, something that's classified as supernatural. And just the question alone, and now for SB that wrote this, while we talk about and then around and about your question, just stay with us because we're giving you answers. Just the fact that these questions were poised the way that they are reveals the real hard issue of what's not being taught in the churches. And it also shows you what is being taught in the church.
The way she worded things and the way she used manifestation and supernatural is not an insult. It's not like we're insulting her.
No.
What we're doing is we're literally pointing out a problem. It's like, think of it this way, folks. Your religious beliefs and your spiritual being and you being a Christian, think of yourself as a car. And you're trying to figure out why your gas mileage isn't good and why your ride is bumpy. And you're not really being able to travel like you want to, because that's your job. You're a vehicle. Well, Jim and I, what we're doing is we're pointing out the squeaks and the rattles, and we're trying to help you do a self-diagnostic test to see why you can't travel the way you want to travel, why you can't see what you want to see, otherwise known as why you're not going home, why your prayers aren't being answered, and why you're not having conversations all day, every day, with your Father, with Christ.
Exactly. And I think going
supernatural and manifestation are squeaks and rattles.
Yes, yes. And going to right now, what Jesus said here in John chapter 3, I think will really, really help, because he actually had to address the same type of thing. And listening to his words really will show you the strength of this argument. Okay. He's got a guy that's very religious called Nicodemus, and Nicodemus is saying some religious things, but they're not on track. Just like, I want a manifestation, I want to know how to get into the supernatural. Well, like BJ explained, and this is something that in the weeks to come, and I'm actually going to be talking with a fellow tonight in a little bit's time, actually about the whole archives, so that individuals can actually go back into former programs and begin to research them and then pull them up, and you'll have information and a lot of material at your hands. I don't know, BJ, while I'm talking, maybe you could figure out possibly how many shows we've done around about. Do you kind of know? Are we somewhere in the...
Yeah, we've done we're in the low 30s.
For total shows?
For total shows since the beginning. They're, I've got them all collected, and we're actually working on getting those on the site.
Okay. Okay.
They should be on the site by the end of summer.
Okay. Well, in this passage, I want to share something with you, because finishing out the comment BJ made and how he started out, everything about your spirit is what's normal. God made us. He made flesh to be a vehicle so that we could drive that vehicle around and experience God in this material world. So the vehicle that he made for man was made out of this material world. You've heard the expression, from dust you've come, and from dust you shall return. Okay, put that together with the idea that man then is not a physical being. Man is a spiritual being. And the physical part of man is the compartment, the vehicle that you use to be transported, your spirit. And if you'll begin to think this way, everything will start to actually fall in place very well. It'll not only, on one hand, begin to reveal Christ and begin to help you to know who you are and begin to experience the joy of spiritual things, but it will also, as you begin to think this way, really reveal how worldly, fleshly, carnal, or how much we've been distorted in the world that we're now living in, that most people call the natural course of life. Listen, what people call the natural course of life today is extremely unnatural to your spirit. It's not the way that God meant it to be. If you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, do you really think that we would be doing the same things exactly that we're doing right now, living the way that people live, if two bites of an apple were not taken? Or do you think we'd actually still have a Garden of Eden experience where we'd be walking and talking with God, and literally, because spiritual things were that which was important, you wouldn't even be paying attention to your physical body? Folks, listen, hold on to that statement, because we're coming around in this broadcast tonight to some things about that, disassociating yourself from the body conscious to the spirit, to be able to understand where we're going and where we're heading tonight. So listen to Jesus' argument. He says here in John chapter 3, he spoke to Nicodemus and he said, you need to be born again if you want to see the kingdom of God. Well, Nicodemus said, how can that be? How can you go back into your mother's womb? And of course, Jesus realizes he doesn't understand. Jesus went on to say, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said unto you, you must be born again. And then notice what Jesus does. And he does this all throughout his 3.5 years of public ministry. He said, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot see it, tell where it comes from, and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus says, well, how can these things be? Please pay attention to what I'm going to share with you here. Jesus says, are you not the teacher of Israel, and you don't know these things? He then qualifies and says, I say to you and speak what I know and testify what I've seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Please understand that what Jesus is trying to get across is the exact same thing here that we're sharing about this email. It is so important for you to make a distinction between that which is of the Spirit and that which is of this world. If you don't get that, in fact, BJ, I think that was one of our first broadcasts, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Because it's literally, as far as we've come in all these broadcasts, it's literally one of the most important things for you to understand. Without you being spirit conscious, I've heard other men of God say it like this. Someone that I was trained under, he made this comment, no man or woman of God will ever be effective unless they become God inside minded. In other words, become minded of the Spirit.
Well, it talks about that in phrases like, you'll do greater works than me.
Yes.
You're made in my image.
Yes.
A lot of people have issues with these things, and I don't know if it's because it's the absoluteness or if it's just because it's 180 degrees different than what they've thought and felt all their lives. But think about this. If we're supposed to do greater works than God, if we're made in His image, why should we have any dramas or issues at all with a world that is unnatural, a world that there's nothing good in the world? It says so.
Right.
There's nothing good in the world. There's the spirit realm, and then there's this world. There's nothing good of the flesh. Well, then obviously, if you're focusing, if all of your energy is toward your earthly life, if all of your energy and you're distracted by your own flesh, which in Scripture says don't be, well, is it any wonder that when you try to, I guess, use Christian tools, enjoy grace, that it fails?
Right. And this is, I'm going to back this up, what you just said, even with the Message Bible of the same passage of John chapter 3. Jesus said here, you're a respected teacher of Israel, verse 10, and you don't know these basics? Listen carefully. I'm speaking sober truth to you. I speak only of what I know by experience. This is good.
Yes.
I give witness only to what I've seen with my own eyes.
Right.
Listen, this isn't for Jesus alone to see something with his own eyes and to know something by his own experience. This is for every spiritual being.
That's why, okay, you've got to look at the Bible as a roadmap, as a Betty Crocker cookbook for Christians. It is designed to give you information, affirmation, spiritual enlightenment, and literally directions on how to put it together. There is some inspiration to make you smile and to make you feel good about what you are to build and what you are to create. What are you supposed to build? What are you supposed to create? Your own individual relationship with God.
Very good. Yep.
That's what you are supposed to build and what you are to create. How do you do that? By taking Scripture and applying it to your spirit being and denying and ignoring and turning your back on this world, because you are made in Christ's image to do His type of works.
Yes.
Because you're a spirit being, which by sheer definition, ladies and gentlemen, by sheer definition means that forget about it. Forget about the world. It goes all the time. People who have a connection with God have a disconnection with their family, with their friends, with their job, with the state, the county, the country they live in, because they're too busy connecting with God.
Jesus made this comment here, and I'm going to share this with you. I'm going to continue on with this. He said here, if I tell you things that are as plain as the hand before your face and you don't believe me, what use is there in telling you of things you can't see, the things of God?
There you
go. Exactly what you're sharing here. And so for SB that sent this in, you're asking questions about how do I begin to flow in the supernatural? How do I begin to see manifestations? I haven't had success. We're revealing to you the number one thing that you need to begin to focus on, and that is you are a spirit, and everything that is spiritual, the anointing, God's grace, every finished work of Christ that is available for you, it is of your spirit. And when you begin to put your attention on your spirit, taking your attention off of this world, immediately the grace of God will begin to work in your life.
Think of it this way. Let's take this one step farther. Okay. I've prayed. I know God is going to heal me. I'm waiting for the manifestation. I'm just waiting for it to happen. I feel so sad when I hear that. We're going to get together. We're going to pray together because we're going to change things and there's going to be a healing. There's going to be a difference. We're going to accomplish something. We are going to change things. We're going to make things right. We're going to make things better. You know, all those things sound really nice, real positive. You know what else they are? They're wrong.
Yes.
And I'll tell you why they're wrong. They're wrong because of what they say and describe about the frame of mind of the person who says them and the frame of mind of the person who receives that particular phrases and sentences and words and takes them to heart. These are why they're wrong. Because it's been done. Do you really think He allowed his son to be nailed to wood, bleed to death, beaten and tortured, thrown in a cave, sent to hell for a few days, and it not cover everything? Don't you think the bill's been paid? Because it's all over in the book how everything has been paid for, all of our sins have been forgiven, so that technically, when you say you're waiting for a healing, when you say you want a healing, when you say you want to get this, that you're working towards this, that this will occur, you're literally denying
right. The
death of Jesus.
It's like denouncing that he even went on the cross.
That it wasn't enough.
Right.
That something more has to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I want to clarify, because this is a question I asked BJ before the broadcast tonight, and when you hear me asking him questions like this, I wanted to clarify, we talk, and it's very interesting because my background from 4 years of age, I've been born again, and it's a church background. BJ's background is not a church background.
No, it's a barn.
It's a barn. And, well, it's very much like the Lord. And it's a barn. But listen, the great part about that is, together we can begin to put scriptures together with some of your perspective. That's the reason why I like running things by that have come out of the church, quote-unquote, atmosphere, religious atmosphere. And this is what it was. And for years I've debated this. But this is a common saying, and that is, I believe I received my healing, I'm just waiting on the manifestation.
Yeah.
And tell them what you said to me.
I think that's ridiculous. I think it's funny.
Yeah, didn't you say it's like a bunch of gobbledygook?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a bunch of gobbledygook. It doesn't even make sense.
No, it's like it's muddy, isn't it?
Yes, and see, here's the thing. People get very frustrated when they ask me questions, and they get very frustrated when they challenge me because they can't back up their position with anything at all because it doesn't make sense. And it literally is counterproductive to being a Christian.
Right.
I mean, the other day a guy said, well, you don't understand. You're a rookie Christian. You've only been saved for a little over a year. I've been saved my whole life, and he's about my age. I said, well, you're not doing very good. And I said, let me ask you something. I said, have you ever had a prayer answered? And he says, no. And I said, have you ever had a conversation with God? No. Have you ever helped anybody to receive grace? Have you witnessed grace? Do you even know that grace is, you're drowning in grace right now? No. Then I said, okay, then why do you even call yourself a Christian? And he got mad. You know, he started cussing at me.
Sure.
And, you know, the veins were popping out on,
right,
on his forehead. And I says, well, think about this. I says, think about this. Christian, by definition, means Christ-like.
Right.
In a relationship with God. So if all your sins are forgiven, ask and you shall receive. There's nothing good of this world. And you're made in my image. You're my children. And I love you so much, I allow you to choose. And I don't want you to worry about anything at all. Because grace is the greatest insurance policy that's ever been.
Right.
Well, if you're, everything that you say and do is the direct opposite of what I've just described, then from my perspective and my opinion is, you want to be a Christian, you'd like to be a Christian, you're trying to be a Christian, but you're not there. And if you're going to a structure where there's a bunch of people there and it's organized with a date and time and you've been going for some length of time and you're hearing the same messages and the same sermons over and over and you're not gaining any ground, then how can that be a church?
Well, the interesting thing, you know, when you begin to talk like that, and I know that causes individuals...
It makes people livid.
Yes.
It freaks them out. But at the same time, they literally do not give me any legitimate, debatable denial of what I'm saying.
Well, as you begin to speak that way, the thing that I think everyone needs to understand, this is what we're talking about. It is a byproduct of modern religion and religion down through the centuries. To go around in circles and to have a form of something that looks right, in a sense, it almost sounds right, but it still doesn't produce anything. And the idea behind it is it's okay that it doesn't. And that's where a statement
because
like...
Because it keeps you coming back.
Well, that's where a statement...
It keeps the system going.
Sure. And that's the statement that we started with. I believe I received my healing, but I'm waiting on the manifestation. Now, think about that. What type of a person would come up with a phrase like that? Well, if you didn't know anything and you weren't in the church, you would probably take about 10 seconds only and come up with a statement like this. Well, probably somebody that doesn't get an answer. Because if you were getting answers, you wouldn't talk like that. You'd say, well, I pray and then I get answers.
Things happen.
Things change. But for someone where it doesn't, you come up with things to help perpetuate this non-completeness, this lack of success. And this goes to some of the question that's being asked in this email. And it goes back hundreds of years.
And thousands.
Yes. And even in the day we're in right now, it's huge because the world has trained us even to become more full of compromise.
This mentality and this way of thinking was around before Jesus walked the earth. He The way Jesus tried to combat this was through parables and through examples of healings. And yet, no one in his hometown would listen to a word he said. Not one healing, nothing ever happened, because his town said, he's just a guy that was born in a barn, was a carpenter for a while, and now he's on the road, and the government's after him, and he's making a lot of people mad, and yeah, every once in a while something special happens. No, he's just he's just running amok, pretty much is what his hometown thought. It started then. Well, as man evolves, why wouldn't this evolve? As man builds and a society and a civilization builds and expands, so would misinformation.
Correct.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're not stupid. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not even an idiot. You know what you are? You're a victim. You should look at yourself as someone who has been innocently deceived. Think of it this way. If you're born on an island, and on the island you're born, they give you a round ball that bounces, and you throw the ball through a hoop, and there's five people on a team, and you have a court, and it's called football. And then all of a sudden, you leave that island. And somebody said, and you say, you know, nobody wants to play with me. Well, why would they play with you? You're playing football, and it's called basketball. And you got the wrong ball and the wrong game, and you don't even know what you're doing. Well, no, this is where I come from. This is how we do it. Well, you're wrong. I didn't know that. That's just what everybody on the island I come from, that's what we believe. My father was a champion. I just don't know what to say.
Right.
That is the type of thought process that you possibly may want to entertain. Because what other answer is there? I'm almost positive that there isn't anyone that listens to this show, not even for 5 minutes, that hasn't been, quote unquote, a better citizen and a better person to his fellow man than me. I mean, I'm not that great of a guy. There's a lot of years of testament to that. And so if I'm having success, then that literally proves the point. That anybody can receive grace, anybody can enjoy grace, anybody can use grace, anybody can go home, anybody can have a relationship with God. Look at it this way. If that long-haired cowboy on the radio can do it, well, there's no reason for me not to.
And that just shows you how amazing God's grace is.
It covers everything.
Now, listen to the rest of this. You're going to really like these words here. In fact, I didn't choose this tonight, but because of the email, it's really making for some great teaching. I'm going to read some more out of John chapter 3, starting in verse 13 in the Message Bible. You're going to like this. Jesus makes the comment. He said, and I want you to put this together, because he starts to talk to Nicodemus all about spiritual things versus earthly or fleshly things, and how, if you don't understand earthly things, how are you going to understand heavenly things? In the statement above, he said, what use is there in telling you things of that you can't see, the things of God? He continues, verse 13, no one has ever gone up into the presence of God except the one who came down from the presence, the Son of Man. Of course, that's before the cross. Now, because of Christ, anybody can go. Anyhow, verse 14, in the same way that Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert so people could have something to see and then believe, it is necessary for the Son of Man to be lifted up, and everyone who looks up to him, trusting and expectant, will gain a real life, eternal life. Now, I'm not done, but I want to show you the progression here. Jesus is talking to somebody that's not getting it about unseen things.
Right.
So he goes back into his history, the history of Nicodemus as a Jew, and says, Moses took a serpent and put it on a pole when the children of Israel were in the desert. and they were being bitten by snakes and scorpions and dying. And that was a type and a shadow of Jesus Christ being lifted up on the cross. And he said, Moses did this so the people could have something to see and then believe.
Tangibility.
That's right.
Worldly
That's
tangibility.
Right. He's helping Nicodemus to understand the spirit world by showing him how the opposite has been the tangibility of this earth. And then he said, and the Son of Man is going to be lifted up too. In other words, when Jesus is lifted up on the cross, it will become the visible to help everybody understand that the unseen is real. Now, I'm going to finish this. Verse 16, then Jesus said, and this is everybody's favorite verse. We learn this when we're young. If you didn't learn it, this is one of the premier verses of Scripture. And it says, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his only, one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust in him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. And then verse 19, you'll like the words right here, BJ. It says, this is the crisis we're in. God light streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for the darkness. They went for the darkness because they were not really interested in pleasing God. Everyone who makes a practice of doing evil, addicted to denial and illusion, hates God light and won't come near to it, fearing a painful exposure. But anyone working and living in truth and reality welcomes God light so the work can be seen for the God work it is. That is so descriptive of what we're talking about.
And that was an issue. That was a roadblock. That was a major problem when Jesus was walking around.
He's the one speaking this. He's revealing.
So I want to ask you folks a question that are listening to this broadcast. If the problem existed for Jesus,
correct,
why wouldn't there still be a problem on July 4th on a Wednesday night at about 8:37 Central Daylight Savings Time in 2012? Would it not be worse?
Yes.
Now, if you say, yeah, I see what you're saying, that it probably is worse. Now I'm going to ask you a very simple question. Maybe now you can correlate this phrase, you're made in my image, you will do greater works than me. That doesn't mean that you're going to part a sea. It doesn't mean that you're going to walk into a Walmart and you're going to pick up a loaf of bread and turn it into 5,000 loaves of bread and give them away free. But if you do, good for you. But what that means is that you will have to have the commitment, the love of Christ, to be so much in the Spirit to turn your back on what 2,000 years of flesh and worldly influence has distorted the word of Christ.
Okay, so with what
you
just... I do. And what you just said for SB that wrote this email, you could look at it like this. Turn that into, if for the last, let's even say 100 years, it was the most normal, listen to my words, natural, regular, and expected way of life, that grace was manifested everywhere all the time. Prayers always worked. People, in fact, went beyond prayer working to just living in the wonderful grace of God's finished promise and blessing. If that had been going on for a full 100 years, SB, you would not be asking this question.
Well, there wouldn't be a radio show.
Well, no, there wouldn't. And you would just be operating in something that everybody accepts as real. Now you understand why BJ made the big statement he did about how if it was a difficulty and Christ Jesus is even speaking these things in his day, how blown out of proportion it can be in ours.
God likes math.
Yes, and this is why it is imperative. And I love the words BJ used. He talked about why there has to be such commitment in our day to the things of the Spirit. Now, SB, we're getting to the place of answering your question. We're coming to an understanding that there has to be conviction in the unseen tangibility of grace.
Most buildings, most organized religions are all about faith and all about hope. But when you use the word conviction, they give you the dog look. If you've ever owned a dog, you know what I'm talking about. You say a word to your dog like aluminum foil or SpaghettiOs or bring me the hammer, and your dog perks its ears up and its eyes get big and it tilts its head to the left or to the right because it recognizes your voice, but it doesn't have a clue what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And that's what happens in a building when someone standing in a pulpit and you say, I'm showing you faith, I'm giving you hope. But if you stood up and said, what about conviction? They're going to give you the dog look.
Right.
Because faith and hope are the mother and father. Their offspring is conviction. And conviction shows you the love and power of grace. Conviction is grace. You know, the other day, the last meeting we had here, I said, you know, I'm sick and tired of the word healing because it sounds like something has to get done. And I says, you know, it is done.
Totally,
you know,
done. Finished.
And I've said this for the last year. I've said the closer I become to God, the more prayers that are answered, the more I realize the less you have to pray. Because number one, it doesn't matter. Number two, it doesn't pertain. Number three, because the Bible says so. And because number four, the more you ignore those things, the way they just magically disappear.
Right.
Because the only thing that gives them power is your time. That's the definition of the only influence that negative energy has on us, is what we give it. The only power it has is the power we allow it to.
That's right.
That we give
and
it.
And I want to interject. Finish what you're going to say. I just want to interject this.
No, go ahead.
SB, BJ just gave you the answer to your whole email.
Yeah.
That's the answer right there.
It's that I'll give you an example. There was this older lady. She was like, I don't know, 200-300 years old. She's like everybody's great grandmother, really sweet little lady. She's walking up to Walmart. I'm walking up to Walmart. And she reaches for a cart, and there's a guy on the other end, and he puts a whole bunch of carts in, and her finger gets jammed between, I told you this. I told him this. Between the carts. Her finger is broken, and it's really painful. And everybody's getting mad at this guy, and I'm sure he figured he was going to get beat up or lose his job. And she's standing there, and she's got tears rolling down her eyes. And I go over, and I says, boy, that just hurts like blankety-blank. And she says, it blankety-blank does. And I says, do you believe in God? And she says, I do. And I says, well, if you believe in God, what's wrong with your finger then? She says, well, yeah. She says, what is wrong with my finger? There shouldn't be anything wrong with my finger. And all of a sudden, her finger wasn't bent, and there wasn't any pain. And she was pointing her finger around. And she says, do you think we ought to pray about this? And I said, there's nothing to pray for.
Right.
I says, but what you can do is you can say, thanks, Grace.
Sure.
And she did.
Yeah.
And there was these people standing around. They go, what just happened? This was a miracle. This was supernatural. And she looked at me and she winked and she says, no, this is grace. You know, you don't thank God for a prescription. You don't pray for a good doctor for your surgery. What you do is you stand up out of a wheelchair, you leave your crutches leaning against the couch, and you say, thank you, Grace, for helping me stand. That is conviction.
Sure.
Because faith and hope is, I love you. I'm going to be the best person I can. And I know that you'll heal me. I'm just waiting for the manifestation. That's all about hope. That's all about faith in God. But where in that statement, where in that mindset, is there any conviction?
Well, you know, I told you just the other day, the story, in fact, it happened Sunday, you know, with Drew.
Yeah, with your daughter. And that's you need to tell that story because that is all about conviction and absoluteness.
Yeah, as she was, we were at one of the big meetings in town, has a huge fireworks display, and did it on Sunday night. So we were there, and there's just tons and tons of people, which the irony of all this is, we're surrounded by, quote-unquote, you know, 10, 15, 20,000 believers, okay?
Yeah.
So I have a great opportunity to believe God. Drew is doing gymnastics, and of course she's at the level where, you know, it's double flips and corkscrew moves. I don't even know what they're called, but anyhow, a double flip with a half twist out of it. Anyhow, the gymnastic place brought some of their equipment there, and they're part of, there was all kinds of things going on, and this is one of the little things that was going. People came to watch, and the kids were doing some, you know, on a little tumble track, and then had a little, it's called a mini trampoline thing, double mini. Anyhow, Drew's going down there, and she's doing all these things, and just doing great, you know, and looks great, and doing a wonderful job. And we had gone and got something to eat, and on the way back, we're just walking up. Well, I see her running down, and she goes up off the first part of the mini, up into the air, and just over shoots the second part where she has to land and then bounce up again, and at that point go into, you know, a double back flip. So anyhow, she comes down on the very edge, and it just snapped her Achilles and feet forward, and her calves backwards. Anyhow, she's laying on the ground and she's in terrible pain, and she gets up and she can hardly walk, and she goes over and she stands there, and you can just tell she's fighting back tears. And so I walked over to her and I said to her, I said, "Drew, you know how this works." I said, "Now there's a couple different ways we can do this." I said, "If you want to do this the way everybody else does it," I said, "then most likely we better go get a doctor to look at it. Very possible you'll have to have some orthopedic surgery or the microscopic surgery." And she's going the very next day to, and she's in right now in London on a missions trip. I said, "Most likely on your mission trip, you'll have to have crutches and you'll be hobbling around and you'll be hurt." And I said, "It'll be a while before you get to go back into gymnastics." I said, "Or we can completely dismiss this, because why in the world would we pay attention to it and subscribe to it? Why would we give our energy to it, even though it hurts? Why would we give our energy to it if Jesus already set us free?" So I said this to her, and you know, immediately I looked at her and I said, "So why don't you gather yourself together and go back down the runway here and go at it again?" And so she gathered herself together. She went down the runway and she came up and jumped on the tramp. And when she hit the tramp and came up, she said something popped in her knee. And she came down and was kind of afraid because it hurt even worse. And she went over and sat down. Now, this is real interesting, folks, because listen, see, I'm not trying to be mean to my daughter. I'm just helping her to see two different avenues. And if I have to work through it a little bit with her, I'll work through it with her. So I went back over there. She's really, really hurting. She's got tears in her eyes. One of the ladies had come and given her a bottle of water that was used in an ice chest as a block of ice. It was a solid ice in the bottled water. And she put it underneath her knee. And this lady sat down with her, all good intentions. And I walked over to her and I talked to her again. She said, "I don't want to do that anymore." And I said, "Drew, I don't care whether you do it or you don't." I said, "The only thing is whether or not you're well or whether or not you're not." And I said, "If you're going to be well, then why?" And just as I said this, a lady comes up, taps me on the shoulder, and she's juggling a bag of ice. And she reaches over to say, "Here's some ice for her." And I just looked up at her enough to see her hands bring this ice. I didn't even look up all the way. And I said, "I don't need your ice." And I looked back at Drew and said, "And the ice that's under your knee, we don't need that ice either, do we?" And Drew just kind of slowly took it and gave it back to the lady who was looking at me. And she was looking at me kind of wondering. And my thoughts were completely fixed on the fact that if you're, well, if you're not subscribing to this, why would you buy into it?
You don't need ice.
And Drew got up and we went over to sit down. By the time we had gotten over to sit down, she was already walking better. I said, has it loosened up already? She said, yes, it has. And we went over and sat down, and I put my hand on it, and I said, you realize we've already dodged a big bullet. I said, because you should be laid up right now with an ice bag all over your knee, getting ready to have to go into some, you know, little clinic and have them look you over just to tell you that there's a major problem with your knee. And I said, but you're not having a major problem, and there's nothing at all wrong with your knee.
Well, the part of the story I like is where you're leaving after the fireworks are over.
Well, yeah.
And your one daughter says, why don't you give her a piggyback ride?
Yeah, Chloe says, aren't you going to carry Drew? And I said,
because,
no.
See, that's enabling.
Sure.
That's buying into the tangibility that something's wrong, that something needs to be healed, that things aren't right. Because the real, see, ladies and gentlemen, the real testimony of this story is not that his daughter's knee, there's nothing wrong with it and she's fine now. The real testimony is the testimony of conviction. Walk, don't limp. I'm not going to give you a piggyback ride. We don't need ice packs. We don't need paramedics. There's nothing wrong.
Yeah, she said, when Drew heard Chloe asked, she said, Daddy, aren't you going to give Drew a piggyback ride? And I said, no, she can walk. And Drew says, how far is it? I said, it's on the other side of the world, and you're going to walk the whole way.
That's a good answer. I like that answer.
You know? And
yeah,
so we just went ahead and walked, and Aaron looks back at her, my wife, and she says, and so don't be slow. Hurry up. Let's go. And so we walked, and we made it fine. We went home. Drew got in bed. She was completely calm about everything. Woke up the next morning completely whole. Not a hitch in her giddy-up. Do you know what that means, BJ?
I do.
Okay. Well, folks, listen. This is exactly what we're saying tonight. There's so much good truth to this, and so many of you are out there. I can tell already you're really eating this up, and you're enjoying this because you're seeing how that the work of Jesus Christ was accomplished so that we don't have to buy into the world. You say, well, my arm, I can't lift it. Well, that's just what you think. You really can. Why? Because the real you isn't attached to any pain, sickness, or disease. Because Jesus, who is truth, defeated sickness, defeated pain, defeated disease. He took all of those things. If we were actually, BJ, I'll ask you this question. If we were actually going to take the words of Christ verbatim, and Jesus said, I took your pain, I bore your sickness and your disease, then what pain, sickness, and disease is left for us to bear?
Right. You know, a building and a religious group would have held hands and put a circle around your daughter with a 10-pound bag of ice and said, we're going to pray for you.
Well, it already started. It was on the way to exactly what you said.
Right. And see, and a lot of you will say, well, what's wrong with that? That's nice. There's nothing wrong with it. It is nice. But it's unproductive. It's literally counterproductive. It's actually more religious and more worldly, and it has nothing to do with spiritual beliefs or grace.
Not with the Spirit.
Because what grace is when, well, you know, she's a teenager and she's all wrapped up in things and she's learning and she's learning how to do this. But I'll bet you a shiny new dime in about 5 years, if something like this happens to Jim's daughter, Drew, when she stands up, she's going to say, thank you, Grace. That was a weird feeling and a weird sound. I'm fine.
Yes.
And then somebody's going to say, do you need help? Are you okay? Wow, that was really bad. Your leg, it should be broke. And she's going to look at him and laugh and say, no, pretty much Grace took care of it.
That's right.
And they're going to give her the dog look.
Right.
Because they're going to say, what? And then they're going to say, well, what, did you pray? And Drew's going to say, there's nothing to pray for.
Right.
Because the sheer definition of praying means that you're asking for something. If there's nothing wrong, because Jesus paid for everything, what's there to ask for?
Yeah, I'm going to give a couple verses
conviction
here. That
does
will
that
help.
Make sense? Did I screw up your story?
No, it's perfect sense. It's exactly answering SB's question, which I am so thrilled that you asked it because it really typifies so many people's thoughts. You know, there is such a holy dissatisfaction right now that's moving through church people because they're so dissatisfied with the jargon and the religious talk of people that are standing behind the pulpit making excuses for what doesn't work. Their people are so hungry for what does work. And the sad thing about it is, everything has already been worked. And I'm going to offer you a couple of scriptures. Hebrews 10, 8 through 12 says, previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire nor had pleasure in them. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, meaning the first covenant, that he may establish the second. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Listen to these words. And every high priest ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, capitalized, meaning Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Folks, did you get that? It says that the priest ministers daily, often repeatedly, the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. What is it trying to say? Under the old covenant, the work wasn't completed. It had to do with how well you and I perform
the work.
But under this new covenant, Jesus became the one who took our place, and through his perfect performance, he was awarded the victory. And because he took our sin, went to hell, defeated the devil, rose again with the keys of death and hell, a position of authority, he went into heaven, he presented his blood at the Holy of Holies, and then he sat down making an offering of sacrifice for sins forever.
All sins are forgiven.
The fact that he sat down is the, listen closely, it's the very first time any priest ever sat down, because it's the very first time the work was finished.
You know, think about this. You know, a lot of people, when they say, what is sin? They'll say lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, murder, theft, animal abuse, child abuse. You know, they'll come up with all the, I guess, for lack of a better way to say it, the regular types of sins that people think. But wouldn't it be wrong? Wouldn't it be kind of sinful to actually pray for a healing, to ask for something that has already been paid for? Would it not be almost whimsical to put effort?
That's a nice word.
Yeah, that's a big word for a cowboy.
It is.
It's whimsical. It's almost whimsical, almost like a humorous, to put effort and work at something that everywhere in the Bible says, been there, done that, got the t-shirt.
That's right.
It's over.
It's done. Close the book, put it back on the shelf. We're done.
Now that you listen to this show, I recommend that you listen to it two or three times. Can you now see what the difference between a building and a church can do to a person?
Yeah, well, that's
accidentally.
That's the whole discussion tonight.
It is.
Is showing, in fact, wasn't it a couple weeks ago? Well, we've almost every week had an email that basically covers somewhat of this discussion, which is, I've been going to a church for this many years. I'm no better. Well, even my bishop, for the last 30 years, he's been dealing with problems. And
my success. There's no success.
There you go. And it's almost every week that we have something like this. I just like the way this one was worded because it really hits the issue. Your questions are, well, what about, you know, how do we release the supernatural? How do we, the conviction of the grace of God is the reason why you do what you do.
If you think it, think of that. How do I release it? That means that it's bound up, it's tied, that it's unavailable.
It's everywhere, folks.
How do I get to it?
Right.
Because
get out of the way.
Look at that mindset.
Which is really the truth.
Think about your thoughts and think about your words. How do I obtain it? How do I release it? How do I get it for me? How do I make it work? All that is doubt. All that means that you're not there. Do you see how you get in your own way?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like today, this guy today got a very confused. He actually got frustrated with me. I think I really insulted his religious beliefs. And he said, is it true that you were paralyzed? I says, I was. Dead from the belly button down. I was a paraplegic in a wheelchair. Spent 7 months in a hospital bed, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And he says, well, did you pray? And I says, no. And he says, you didn't pray? And he says, well, how are you healed? And I says, well, it was kind of like a challenge. I literally told God, I says, well, you're supposed to take care of this. So if you take care of it, I'll believe in you and I'll be a better man. But if I don't walk, then you're just full of stuff and it's just a big joke. And I says, so fish or cut bait, let's get going. But I used more colorful, you know, cowboy ranch type of language. And he says, well, did anything happen? And I says, yeah, instantaneously my legs were moving.
Yeah, but now show, because, okay, we talked about something yesterday or 2 days ago, and this is really, really good.
Here at the ranch.
Let's go back to that, because remember how easy it is when you're not in the game to be able to say things. Because the real conviction is, okay, so you've started feeling some feeling in your toes, but wait a minute, you thrashed around in the bed, you made them go get your shoes when they were telling you you can't have shoes.
They said you can't wear any shoes because you're on an air mattress. It was literally, there was a pump and it continued to pump air into the mattress. You're on an air bed and your boots are going to punch a hole in the mattress. And I said, how can I walk without my shoes and my boots?
Right. Now, every story that we tell here on the ranch and in our broadcast, all of them have a point of conviction where you have to get in the game. Because, for instance, like David and Goliath, anybody can tell the king, hey, I'm going to kill Goliath. You just watch what I'll do.
Right.
Anybody can say that.
Talk is cheap.
Thank you. Now you face the giant. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to inch your way to him, or are you going to take off running like David did with such conviction?
Right.
That God is for me, I'm not afraid a bit. Let's go. Let's get it on. Now, that's the point everybody needs to know. Because that's the place where, listen, I'll be honest to anybody that's listening. With my daughter in that situation, yes, I had thoughts going through my head. What are people thinking? I had thoughts going through my head. What happens if it doesn't work? I had thoughts going through my head about the tangibility of grace.
What you are describing, all of those thoughts, that is human flesh. That is the world that is inviting negative energy to take control.
Yes, exactly.
That is the threshold. If you want to know where the door is, if you want to know where that fine black line is between this world and the spirit world, that's it.
Yes, it is. And I call it the veil of conscience. You've heard me say that before.
Yes.
The place where you know what you know, and now you're going to step beyond it to trust in something
even,
you feel like is not there.
Even a member of your family suggested that you should have been polite and accepted and used the ice.
Yes.
To be polite.
Yes.
But see, that is a social grace. That is a worldly compromise. It's these little finite little things, because you have to remember that Satan has been defeated.
Yes.
He has no power. Well, if Satan has been defeated and he has no power, if the wheels come off the wagon, if you have a problem, if something goes wrong, it's your fault. You have put your energy, you are centering your thoughts in literally the wrong direction.
But you know, it's interesting, because when you're saying all these things about Satan being defeated, you know, folks, think about it. The most that he has in any crisis is a thought to come to your mind about what won't work. He can't restrict your hands. He can't stop you from thinking. He can't stop you from praying.
I want you to repeat what you said again. Because, and then I'm going to interrupt, well, I always interrupt you, but I'm going to interrupt you about every 10 words. Because you said, as I was sitting there with my daughter, I had these thoughts.
Right.
And what was one of the first thoughts?
What are people going to think?
Okay, stop. Now think about this. He's there with his daughter. She's hurt. Everybody knows she's hurt. She's limping. You can see the pain on her face. And it's a gymnastics thing, so it happens all the time. What are people thinking? What are all these people thinking about me not doing what is accepted emergency first aid? This is my daughter. I'm going to look like a terrible dad.
Right.
I'm going to look like I don't care.
Right.
Like I'm literally telling her, shake it off, get back in there, like it's a football play or something. Okay, what's another thought you had?
Another thought I had was, I don't feel the anointing. I don't feel the grace.
Right. Now I don't feel it. I don't see it. This is an exception.
Which is telling me I'm not really, maybe I don't really have it right now to give.
No, and see, these two thoughts are literally a piece of paper and a match that have been ignited. Because now you have two thoughts that are literally changing your mindset from a Christian to a flesh being that's going to deal with this injury in a worldly fashion.
Sure.
Now, what's your next thought was?
Well, what happens if it doesn't work?
Doubt.
Sure.
So now we have doubt. Now, wouldn't you bet, I mean, if you had $10,000 to spare, wouldn't you bet $10,000 that Jim Huckaday has faith and hope? Of course you would. But what he has just told you about those thoughts, there's no conviction there. But then all of a sudden, conviction kicked in. And when presented with ice, you said no. And you said no, absolutely. And you said no very seriously. Like it was almost like they were offering her to get bit by a snake or something. Or say, well, her knees hurt, let's put a leech on her and bleed her. No.
Right.
But see, the power of your no, the thought process that said no, there's nothing wrong, grace is here, this is just a big bucket of stuff.
Well, yeah, in fact, the counteractive thought that really started to turn. First of all, I want to share this. There was, in my demeanor and my action, there was no hang-up. There wasn't an ounce of me not going forward in Christ.
Well, no, this happened like bam, bam, bam. We're talking about seconds.
These are just harassing thoughts,
yes,
that are coming to me. And immediately, this kicked in. Grace is everywhere. Why would I participate with something that is not of our spirit?
That's thinking, that's Christian thinking right there.
And I cannot fail because grace cannot fail.
Well, then what? Now you have conviction.
And I looked then at Drew and said, and so we're going to do this the way of the Spirit. So why would you need that ice behind your knee And she just kind of looked at me big eyes and reached down very slowly and took it away. I said, so give that back. And that's when that lady came with a big thing. I said, no, don't need that ice. And I said, because now you're healed. And I said, I don't care if you jump on that again or not, but you have to be well. Now, the end of the story is the next day she woke up perfectly well. There's not an ounce of any problem with her. But why would there be?
Right.
Jesus took our infirmity and bore our sickness.
This is, folks, we say this every week, but if you really think about what we're telling you tonight, that do you see how simple and how not easy it is, but yet how you can fall prey to negative thoughts?
Yeah.
I mean, the devil doesn't make you do anything. Satan doesn't have you in a chokehold. The devil isn't in your house. No. What it is that you have faith and hope that are literally tired and exhausted.
What?
Because they have produced a child that is being ignored.
Yeah. What did Paul pray for the most with the churches? He prayed for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. It's the knowledge of... Knowledge is very powerful, isn't
Paul,
it, BJ?
Basically, what Paul did, to put it in modern terms, is he basically wanted people to get their head out of their back pockets and wake up and smell the coffee.
Right.
That was literally his prayer. And that was all over his letters. His letters were nothing but giant, long, I told you so's.
Right.
And wake up and smell the coffee. And why are you falling backwards? And why have you forgotten what you've seen?
Right.
You know, they were literally...
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he was basically a big pain in the rear to a lot of people.
Well, you know, the whole story we read about Jesus from the Message Bible was explaining to us that when people are struggling so hard with the unseen realm, God went to the expense of sending his son into the unseen realm, into this world,
right,
to be seen, handled, and touched. In fact, John said, the same one that wrote John chapter 4, 1 John, his epistle, it said, we saw him, we handled him, we touched him, we heard the word of life. In other words, I have a witness of what I saw. I was there. I touched him physically. Okay, God did that to end the discussion about the spirit realm being real.
We finally got your computer to work in the radio studio.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, is there anywhere in those Bibles that you carried in here, is there anywhere on the internet that has anything to do with Christianity that would back up someone's position or opinion or thought or argument against me, BJ, that when you have to earn or work hard, deserve, or an unmeasurable amount of time that is up to God's choosing before something positive can happen in your life?
No, not at all. In fact, to the contrary.
Was that too broad of a question? I mean, I tried to chew it fine and... I mean,
no. You did really good because I'm just looking up a scripture here about something here. Let me see. I'll get it here in just a second.
That, you know, while he's looking that up, I want to take a moment to say welcome, because every week someone new logs on and listens to the show. And I don't know who you are. I don't know where you are. I know you're there. And I want to welcome you to Jim's show. And there's links to his own personal website that you may want to check out as well. And also, you know, there's no such thing as a dumb, stupid, or ridiculous question. And we love emails. And if you want to email the show, it's just theabidingpresence@gmail.com. You can go to the show's website and it'll say contact the show. And if you don't want me to read it on the air, and it's just personal or private, just put personal and private. And I want to say a special hello to everybody that's listening in New York City, San Antonio, and Los Angeles. And I want to say a special hello because we've got a nice little group of people. Who knows? Maybe they know each other. Maybe they don't. Around the Detroit, Michigan area, we've got a nice little group of people up there in Detroit and north of Detroit.
Sure.
20, 30 minutes. So I want to say hello to those people. And let them know that the Abiding Presence is here
yes,
to help.
We appreciate everybody that listens.
Okay, you found it, but yeah. I'm going to ask the question again, so it's we get okay. We're good. Okay, the question is there anything in Scripture or the Bible that goes to the fact that you have to wait, you have to earn it, you have to deserve it, that God does things in His own time that we don't understand, and that when you pray or that it's possible that you've prayed and that you've literally received it, but yet it isn't time for it to kick in yet. All these things that people hear in buildings, is there anything that backs it up, but is there something that agrees with me that this isn't really the way it's supposed to be?
Yeah, I mean, look at Titus 3:5 that says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. You can go, there's just a ton of them here. You can go over here saying in Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So everything about the writings of Paul revealed that on this side of the cross, it's not about your works. It's about your trust in His work.
I know
work.
That because of the fact that I was just a guy. I didn't go to church. I don't have a family. I don't have children. I mean, I'm not wanted by the law. I wasn't that bad. What was really ironic is a lot of people thought I was a Christian because I didn't drink, I didn't smoke,
right.
I didn't take drugs, I was always working with horses, but I just didn't really, I wasn't really social. I didn't really want to have a lot to do with people because I deal with so much animal abuse on horses by people. That when I was saved, people, today, a lady asked me, she says, how did you know that you were saved? How did you know when you were saved? And I says, when I figured out that all the years of my life meant nothing to God. And she says, well, what do you mean they meant nothing? And I says, they mean nothing. It isn't about the past. It's about the present and the future. And she says, well, how did you figure that out? And I says, because I'm walking, and I should be paralyzed.
Right.
And they don't know why I'm walking, and they can't explain it. And my neurosurgeon is on the board of directors of his building, and he doesn't like the fact that I am walking because he said, well, we're praying that you have a very good life in a wheelchair.
Sure.
And I said, what kind of prayer is that? Conviction is, you know, if I had to explain to somebody what the word conviction means to me, conviction to me personally means that I know that there's God, I know that there's grace, and I know to be with God, to go home, to enjoy the message of the guys, and to have grace with me 24 hours, 7 days a week, like it's a tattoo on my chest, a shadow that never goes away. That conviction literally means to ignore, deny, forget about, discard, make fun of, and joke of almost everything that upsets me, that would concern me. Is it too hot? Is it too cold? Is it going to rain? Is the rain ever going to stop? Is this going to happen? I hope this doesn't happen. Is this person going to think this? I hope this person thinks that. I mean, folks, it's like we're being tugged from left to right. And I'm here to tell you that conviction is in the middle of left and right, because conviction doesn't recognize left and right.
Well, you know, there's a great scripture
Was that all right?
Yeah. I mean, when I just come right in, it's because I'm going to say something that's going to just back that up. Hebrews 11:1 in the Distilled Translation says, "Now faith is betting your life on the unseen realities of God." And that's where the conviction comes. It's betting your life on there's something unseen. It's like the woman after going through some of the things that training materials that I have, and you can find those on my website, jimhockaday.com. But she said, I'd gone through about three or four of the CDs, and she said, I was on the fifth one and went through it about four or five times, and I found myself in a store, and I'm second in line, and the lady is buying something, and she all of a sudden takes this fit of pain and just bends over and starts just moaning and groaning, and the lady behind the counter ran away to go get, you know, a staff person to come and help her. And she said, and I sat there and thought to myself, well, I could tell her that our church believes in healing, but then that's a few days away.
Right.
She said, so I thought to myself, well, maybe this is my opportunity. So she said, I just tapped her on the shoulder and said, could I pray? And she said, oh, please. And she said, and then, without even thinking of it, I leaned over and said, the moment I pray, you'll be instantly healed. And she said, I thought to myself, oh, my God, I can't believe I said that, because what would happen if it doesn't work?
Right.
And she said, I started praying and don't know what I said, but within seconds, the woman goes, oh, my God, I feel better. It's all gone. And she said, and here I was jumping in the store with her. And I walked away that day, looked at my hands, and said, oh, my God, this stuff really works. She found out that grace was everywhere. She didn't have to work for it.
No.
It was there.
It always is.
And it always is.
Yeah. And see, that's why we say you have to get out of your own way.
Yeah. And that's really the size of it, is learning
to
get out of the way with your conviction, which may look like, I don't need any ice.
Think of this. I feel so bad for people that they tell me that they can't wait for Sunday so that they can go to their building and ask God for help. Or I feel so bad for someone who says, well, the person that runs the building I go to told me that I need to join a Bible study to become closer to God, and that I need to pray more, because all those things literally tell a story of doubt, of working harder, that you're not there, that there isn't anything there to get, because you haven't earned it, or you haven't created it, or you have a long road to hoe.
Yeah.
I literally had a guy tell me, he says, how long have you been saved? And I says, well, I don't know, plus or minus a year and a month. And he said, well, you got a long road to hoe as a Christian. And I says, no, I don't. And I says, how long have you been a Christian? And he says, I'm 67 years old, and I've been a Christian for almost 60 years. And I said, have you ever had a prayer answered? And he says, well, that's not why you pray. I said, really? And he goes, have you had a prayer answered? And I said, well, let's see, I've been saved for a little over a year, and I've had 80 prayers answered instantaneously. And he just looked at me and he says, well, that sounds good and everything. He says, but that doesn't happen to just everybody, you know. And I said, it's supposed to. And he goes, well, who told you that? And I said, it's in Scripture. Ask and you shall receive. We're all children of God. We're all created equal. And all of our sins have been forgiven.
Correct.
He just turned around, walked away, shaking his head like I was an idiot.
Right.
And you know me and my personality. And this will tell you the kind of person that I've been most of my life. If he was walking away, I said, you know, I'm not sure if this is prayer number 81 that's been answered, but I'm really glad you're leaving.
You said that to him?
Yeah. And he just turned around and scowled at me, but you know. Well, how sarcastic I am.
This really does put a capsule on
it. It does.
On what we're sharing tonight.
Yes.
Because everybody can... Listen, when you're a spirit being, and that's what we all are, whether you're in fellowship with God as a spirit being or you've never accepted Christ, but you are a spirit being. And when you recognize the spirit realm, just like what we began talking about, BJ's first comments about what is supernatural, that it's all supernatural. It's all of the spirit. It's not something special. Then having answers to prayer becomes normal.
Well, yeah, it's like the person that wanted me to be on their television show, and you said, no, you really don't want
them.
Well,
the reason I said you don't want them to be on, and they said, no, we do, and I said, no, you don't. You couldn't handle his absoluteness.
Well, the name of the show.
Right, is.
I mean, we're not going to go into it.
Yeah, we won't go into it. Well, you know what? I'd like to pray for folks right now. I think this will be a really good time. Because I think even more than ever, and I've prayed this prayer over and over again, that it'd be real important for you just to listen to these words. They come right out of Scripture. But Father God, for the people tonight that are listening to this show, may you grant unto them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, that the eyes of their understanding would be opened, that they would know the hope of your calling for their life, the glorious riches of your inheritance, and the greatness of your mighty power. And I pray that if there's one person out there listening to the sound of our voice and you're hearing some of the wonderful things that God's grace will do, and you're wondering, I've never even prayed that initial prayer to ask Jesus to be the Lord of my life, then I want you to repeat these words after me. Almighty God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son, that he died on the cross, he took my place, that he arose again on the third day, and that his salvation is available tonight. I call upon that name, and I confess the Lordship of Christ over my life, and I accept your salvation now. In Jesus' name, thank you for your grace. Amen.
I like that. That was good. I like that a lot. You know, something that I think that really kind of needs mentioning at this point is that it's about you and your own personal relationship with God. It's not about this radio show. It's not about Jim. It's not about myself. It's not about the building or the church that you go to. It's about your relationship.
Yeah, that's right.
Would you ever allow someone to dictate rules, terms, or philosophical beliefs on a relationship with your mom or dad, your husband, your wife, or son or daughter, aunt or uncle, or grandma or grandpa? No, you'd tell them to mind their own business. Why? Because it's personal, and they literally do not know you. They do not walk in your shoes. So, thinking this and using this, and possibly if you agree with what I just said, then possibly that may assist you in finding that conviction that your faith and hope have built for you that you haven't taken advantage of yet.
Yeah, I thank the Lord that things are going to really change in people's lives from listening tonight.
I know that they're going to change. I know they can change. The only thing that I find perplexing is when. Because I know that it's instantaneous. And not just me. We've read emails on this show.
Right.
About the woman that said, I've been trying for 16 years and I finally said, you know what? I give up. Fine. It's up to you, God. I'm literally giving up and I'm just not going to. I just can't do this anymore. And before she got the words out of her mouth, it was all gone and better.
Right.
And how many times, I mean, one of the first times that I was with somebody, they said, are you going to pray for me? And I said, no. and it was at a building, and there was a big line, and you had me come up, and this woman said that she had pain in her neck, and she was going to have surgery, and she couldn't lift her arm up, and I just said, she says, are you going to pray for me? And I said, no. She gave me the dog look, and I said, no, I don't pray. And I says, but, I says, do you believe in God? And she says, yes. I said, do you love Jesus? She said, yes. And I says, well, then reach your arm up and at the same time say, I love Jesus. And she says, I can't. And I says, so you don't love Jesus? And she says, no, I do love Jesus. I says, well, if you love Jesus, raise your hand. And she raised her hand, and I said, do it again, do it again. And on the third time, she went, oh, my God. And I said, yes, he is your God. And she says, what did you do? And I says, I didn't do anything. All you had to do was get out of your own way. That's conviction.
Right. Right. Yeah, conviction is not, this is, we're not coming up with anything new, folks. I'm just letting you know.
No, this isn't.
We're not reinventing the wheel here.
No.
The only thing that's a little different is that our show, we're endeavoring with everything that we speak to be as accurate as possible, to be as black and white or absolute as possible.
Back it all up with Scripture.
Because Jesus was always absolute. He didn't mix words. He was very careful about what he said, and he followed through with it. That's the difference of the show. And if you're looking at some of the things we say and think, man, that's hard, or wow, that's kind of, you know, that's kind of tough, or no. That just goes to show how weak we've been and how confused we've been.
I think when people think that some of the things that we say are, or that maybe I should let you off the hook and say I say, that you back up with Scriptures. I think sometimes, Jim, that when people think it's harsh and that it's absolute and that it's too hard, I think what it is I think that there's just a small smidgen, just a frog's hair's pinch of fear. Because think of it back to what I said. You've grown up on an island playing a game,
right?
And you've got the game all wrong, and the rules are wrong, and you're even using the wrong piece of athletic equipment. You're putting a football through a basketball hoop, and you think what you're doing is right, because that's the way your father did it, and that's the way everybody on your island did it. And all of a sudden, your eyes are woken up, and you realize that it's different. I see that in the world of horses. There's a lot of people from foreign countries. There's a lot of people from Mexico.
Right.
Some are here legally, some aren't. That's not the point. The point is that they're in a new place, and they don't really know the language. But what's real interesting is horses. Wherever you come from, there are do's and don'ts. It's like a dog. I mean, you could go to Russia and you'd know how to walk somebody's dog. You'd know how to take care of their dog.
Right.
But yet, you would have some fear and a little apprehension because you've never been to Russia before. And you don't speak Russian. And you're wondering, what's it going to be like with this dog? And so there's that initial little, I'm not quite sure if I can, you know, how this is going to go. But see, that falls into the same category as your thoughts at that event where your daughter's knee testimony comes from.
Right.
What are all these people going to think if I don't do what should be done, or what the world thinks should be done? I'm not going to let her limp. I'm not going to pick her up in my arms and carry her. There's not going to be paramedics. I'm turning down ice. I mean, you know, that is the same category of, I don't know if I can take care of a Russian dog in Russia and walk it.
Yeah, well,
and I think that applies here to grace and Christianity.
Well, I think it does too. It's in fact, to be honest, it's rampant in the church, where people are not renewed in their thinking, and they allow all those little thoughts to stop them.
Yeah,
and notice that it didn't hinder the outcome just because those thoughts were there.
It's like the other day when you were out here. I mean, it's really a shame, because the best radio isn't radio. It's just the conversations that you and I have in this room.
Right.
And I think it's interesting the way Grace allowed this radio station and studio to take place.
To be
place.
Here.
Yeah, and the way it just keeps getting bigger, better all the time. But you know, I said, if I ever had a church.
Yeah, I like this. Yeah.
You know where I'm going with this.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, and people say, well, you should be a minister and you should have a church. And I says, no, you really don't want me speaking in front of a group and you really don't want me. Yeah. And I says, but if I did, I says, it would be the church of the unconcerned.
Well, it would be called Bought and Paid For. And then underneath, the church
of the unconcerned.
That's right.
And when I told you that, you started laughing. And
yeah.
You say, and they, but when I say that to people, they say, bought and paid for, and then the church of the unconcerned, what
right.
kind of, they says, that's disrespectful. And I says, no, it's not. Think
yeah.
about what I just said. Bought and paid for. Jesus' blood paid for our sins.
Right.
So, he bought it, and he paid for it.
Correct.
And the reason this group of people in this structure are unconcerned is because it literally says in Scripture, don't worry about your food, don't worry about your clothes,
right.
don't worry about anything. Why? Grace is going to take care of it.
Right.
So why not have a structure where people come not to really worship, but to actually say, this is what I did with grace. This is how I help somebody.
Yeah, but in a sense, that is worship.
It is. It's testimony.
It's the highest worship because you're actually telling off on what grace is doing, which is to give God praise.
Well, I'll make you a deal. If you ever get a place,
yeah,
and you call it Bought and Paid For, the Church of the Unconcerned,
yeah,
I'll make sure that my socks match.
Okay.
I'll show up with matching socks.
All right.
A freshly starched, ironed, creased pair of Wranglers. I might even stop at the truck stop and hose off my boots.
Okay.
And I'll come inside.
I'll hold you to it.
I'll do it. I'll show up. But if anybody likes that name, you
right.
got to say, well, you know, I got that from,
I can't,
you know.
I can't claim it, Kevin.
No, that came from the ranch. That came from
That's
BJ's
good.
Home place. But no, I mean, because think about that. Bought and paid for, why would you worry? Why would there be concern? Because now, let's get this real serious. Let's get real serious for a second here before we wish you a very good evening. Okay, if we're all in agreement, if it's in Scripture, that Christ sacrificed his own son and Jesus' blood washed everything away, I've only got one question for you. If you agree with that, and it is in Scripture,
that's correct,
then this begs to ask the question, and I ask it all the time, then why should there be anything wrong? Why is there something wrong? What makes you think you have to earn it, work for it? And more importantly, what in the name of high-quality chocolate are you waiting for?
Right.
What's there to wait for? It says ask and receive. It doesn't say ask and take a number. It doesn't say ask or pray to me and I'll get back to you, or I'll see if you're deserving of it, or have you been good enough? It doesn't say any of those things.
Right. And just to conclude some of those statements, BJ, that's the reason why Jesus said, in talking with Nicodemus about the unseen realm and being born again and everything that Nicodemus was in question of, all these wonderful things that you do, and Jesus said, but it's all of the Spirit. And Nicodemus said, I don't get it. Okay, he brought the whole equation down to, if Moses lifted up the pole and put a serpent on it so people could see and believe, how much more would our Father send his only Son into the earth to be lifted up on a cross so that we could see and believe? What Jesus is saying is, folks, if you're struggling with the grace of God, do you agree that Jesus was lifted up? It's a historical fact, folks. Do you agree that he was God's Son? That's the question you need to ask yourself, because if you say you do, then that's God's proof to you that the grace of God is everywhere and it will never fail you. If you step out on the sea, The sea of life, if you feel like you're going under, if it feels like everybody's looking at you, like when I was with Drew, questions are coming to your mind. What happens if it doesn't work? Folks, I've seen tumors disappear. I've seen bones healed. I've seen backs corrected. I've seen eyes healed and ears pop open by the very same thing we're talking about. When your mind is going crazy, you think, oh my God, this person's going to die, and you still step beyond that place, that void, that line in the sand, because you know that grace won't fail you.
Right.
That, my friend, is one of the most exciting and exhilarating places of life. To know that God is on your side. He'll never leave you nor forsake you.
I think that I think I need to shut up, and I think that's a good last thought.
Good.
Yeah, I think we need to stop right there and let people...
I'm pleased.
I think people need to reflect on it, and I hope they listen to the show more than once.
Yes, that's good.
And by the by, if you've just logged on and you want to hear the show, I'm getting better at it. I'm getting better at operating the broadcasting equipment, and this show will be streaming. Hopefully, within 20 to 30 minutes, you'll be able to hear the beginning of the show. And you know, because I always start the show off with a date and time. But until I get it uploaded, last week's broadcast does stream. I don't want to confuse. You know, I've never explained this before.
No,
I should.
Think it's good.
Yeah. We don't want there to be dead air. So until I get the current show up and loaded and streaming after a live broadcast, we always have last week's show playing so that there's something for you to listen to. All right, folks, I want you to enjoy your week and take advantage of it. And remember, most of us are in warm weather. And remember about those pets and animals. And just because they have water, if that water is in direct sun, it's going to be about 100 degrees. And that's not really going to quench their thirst or give them any relief. So make sure that they have shade, and so does their water and yourself. And take care of your family and your pets. And Jim will be back here next week.
Next week.
Send us your emails. Send us letters to the P.O. Box. And take care of yourselves. And good night.
Good night, everyone.